Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your word. Speak to us and helps us and guides us and blesses us. And may what was read and what will be said be glorifying to you. O God, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. In today's passage in verse 26, it says, suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. This past week, we heard some horrific news of captivity and enslavement and imprisonment. For 10 years, three women were held captive. After all these years, one of the women was able to grab the attention of a neighbor who helped her escape. When the news broke out, it was like an earthquake that sent shockwaves across the country. I certainly was shocked. It was shocking to learn this news that this had been going on for so long. How could this happen? So much suffering and pain inflicted on these three. And then the trauma of the child being born into this situation. But now we are glad that they are free. They are free to heal, free to begin again, free to reconnect with their family. And I'm sure their mothers all around are very happy this day. In the book of Acts, we see that there is freedom and that there are fruits of the freedom. We start with the slave girl. She is trapped in this spiritual prison. Some foreign spirit has inhabited her body, and she is being used and abused for profit. She is tormented and tortured, and she is treated like an object, like property. And then Paul and Silas show up, and they free her. In the name of Jesus, the spirit is commanded to leave, and the evil comes out. This must have sent shockwaves to the whole evil system there, to the owners, to the magistrates and authorities. Verse 21 says the Roman system was even connected with this, and Paul and Silas become God's instruments of liberation. They bring about freedom for the slave girl. But then Paul and Silas get their freedom taken away from them as they are put in jail. They are dragged into the marketplace. They're made a public spectacle. This is supposed to make them feel ashamed and embarrassed and punished. They're accused of unrest, and the crowds start to gather, and there's hostility. And the magistrates order them to be stripped of their clothing and to be whipped and flogged severely. And then they're thrown into prison. And not only are they thrown into prison, but into the very inmost inner prison and put in stocks. So Paul and Silas, their problems start out kind of small, but then the accusations and the arrests and the shaming and then more accusations and the stripping and beating and imprisonment. Their problem starts out so small, but then it starts to escalate. And their problems get worse and worse and worse. Hopefully, none of us will ever have to experience this kind of harsh torture or punishment. The closest that we feel to this is when sometimes we have this little problem, and all of a sudden it starts to compound itself. And it gets added on to. This past week, I was visiting a church member, and one thing happened to her husband. He had surgery. And then something happened to her. She fell, and she broke some bones. And then they went to some wedding, or not wedding, a memorial service, sorry. And she slipped and banged her leg, and she now has a big bruise. He scraped his leg right where the knee surgery was. And pretty soon, it's like this whole tsunami of more stuff that gets piled on, and things get worse and worse. Pretty soon they start to feel trapped, they start to feel imprisoned. You know, I've been feeling like this too lately. Remember a couple weeks ago I told you, or I asked you to pray for me as I was driving up to San Francisco because the time before I had a traffic speeding ticket? Well, I didn't get a speeding ticket. I got a parking ticket. And then a couple of weeks ago, Marlu and I were going to a party, and we were at the traffic light at the bottom of this exit. There's a traffic light. It turned green. And Marlu said, "Shouldn't you turn on your signal light?" And I said, "No, we're in this lane that you just assume you're going to turn left." So I ease out into the intersection, and she says, "Look out!" And a car ran their red light and sideswiped us. So I looked at my insurance card, and it had expired that day. Of all the times for me to be late on my payment, the accident had to happen that day. So I called them and I said, "I've been a member for 20 years. My house is insured with you. Is there something you can do? There's no grace period." Then I get a notice in the mail from the other party's insurance, and they said, "You are at fault." I find out later that if we had called the police, and if they found out that my insurance had lapsed, they could have impounded my car and suspended my driver's license. Hi, Dave. None of you work for the DMV, right? If so, please don't report. I intended to pay that, but I just had this one time when it lapsed. From one bad luck to another, and it gets worse and worse. Now, it doesn't excuse me for being irresponsible, but I was hoping for some grace and mercy and caring for the insurance company, but for them, the law is the law. And it's all about money. But I still wrote a letter to them. I'm hoping to get the appeal, so please pray. I learned my lesson. It seems like I'm learning a lot of lessons these days. Yesterday, I decided to join a support group for people like me. It's called Traffic School. How many of you have been to traffic school? Let's start a support group. If you see me on my bike, you know what happened. But what are we supposed to do when we feel like the walls just are closing in and it's getting worse, and we feel like we're being put in this box and imprisoned and captive and tormented and tortured, and the calamity just cascades down upon us, and bad luck, bad news? What did Paul and Silas do? They could have said, "Woe is me." They could have slumped down and just gotten pulled into this negativity. They could have felt sorry for themselves. They could have resorted to anger and bitterness and revenge and retaliation. They could have taken it out on some other prisoner. They could have blamed God. They could have cursed God. They could have lost their faith in God. They could have taken it out on each other, on their family, or anybody who's close by. What did they do? This is verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. Right after that, that's when the earthquake hit, and the jailer gets shocked, and the jailer is caught in a system of his own. Even though the jailer himself is not in prison, he's kind of locked into that culture there, and he's not only caught in the system, but imprisoned with those rules and attitudes, and the jailer has to be tough and callous and uncaring and not so sympathetic. He has to make sure that the prisoners obey and comply and are kept captive, and he is chained to that job. Even though he is the enforcer, he is partly captive to that punitive place. And I'm sure it filters in through his tough skin and it hardens his mind and heart. We know this because he's about to commit suicide when he sees that there is the earthquake and suddenly they are loose. Now, Paul and Silas could have taken off. They could have said, "See you later. Bahala na." They could have said, "Well, it's up to you now and good riddance." They shared the good news with him. They give him hope. In fact, they try to free him of his imprisonment and loosen his shackles. "What must I do to be saved?" he says. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, you and your household." What happens after that? Well, the jailer brings them to his home. He cleans them up, washes the wounds. The family believes and they become baptized, and he gives them food and they praise God. Paul and Silas show that they are free, and they are showing the fruits of their freedom. Because in spite of the conditions, in spite of the causes, in spite of the captivity, they are singing and praising and praying to God. In spite of the calamity and misfortune and mishaps, and I'm preaching to myself here, they are singing and they are praising God and thanking God. They don't lose faith, they don't lose hope, and regardless of the circumstance, they express their freedom in the Spirit. They take on this whole disposition of peace and calm and joy. You all know in Galatians chapter 5, there's the fruit of the Spirit. I also call it the fruit of freedom, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness. And then the jailer also shows fruits of freedom. He brings them home. He invites them to his house. He extends hospitality and welcome and generosity and friendship. And he takes them out of the oppressive system and brings them to his intimate place of safety. He changes their environment or context, as Lanedra Carroll would say. I don't know what your week was like. I don't know what you're going through or what your month is like. And you may feel like the calamities just keep coming and they're just piling on. You may feel overwhelmed with crisis, compounding one after the other, consecutively mishap, misfortune. But the fruit of freedom said, "I'm not going to be bound by these outward circumstances. I won't be dismayed. I won't be in despair. I will not be discouraged. I'm going to sing praises to my God because his mercies are new every morning. His grace is available to us, and I will shout for thanksgiving from my mouth." God freed the slave girl. God freed Paul and Silas. God freed the jailer. God frees you and me. And we are called to help others to become free through the power of our witness and the power of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. And so we sing and we praise God. Amen.